Date of Frank trial depends on weather. The Atlanta Constitution. Tuesday, 22nd July, 1913. Page 1, column 3. Will be called Monday, but may be postponed if as hot as last Saturday. Continued from page 1. That the trial of Leo M. Frank depends to a great extent upon the weather was the indication given last night by Judge L. S. Roan, who will preside when the case is called next Monday. When the temperature went over 99 degrees last Saturday, Judge Roan stated that he would not like to hold court in such weather, and should it prove that hot next Monday, he would be willing to a postponement of the Frank case. Judge Roan stated last night that he would call the case on Monday, and that no efforts had as yet been made to postpone it. He also stated that should it prove as warm then as on last Saturday, he would be willing to a postponement. Haight's long trial. In August, Attorney Reuben Arnold declared that he had yet nothing to say on the matter, except that he hated to think of a long trial in August. He declined to say whether or not the defense would ask for another date of trial. Solicitor Hugh Dorsey has all along expressed himself as anxious to get to the trial. The indictment of Conley is a matter of indifference to us, stated Mr. Arnold, when asked about the action of the grand jury in deciding to take no action in the matter at present. The decision announced by the grand jury Monday after a session lasting over an hour that it would not act on the James Conley matter at present is looked upon a decided victory for a Solicitor General Hugh M. Dorsey, who, on Friday, refused to accede to the request of the foreman and call a meeting for taking up the investigation of Conley's connection with the murder of little Mary Fagan. Victory for Dorsey. While the members of the grand jury made it plain that they cared to make no other announcement than the simple one that at present they would not take up Conley's case, it is generally believed that they decided not to touch the matter until after the trial of Leo M. Frank. Another matter that will come up on Thursday is the question of selecting the jurors, as, according to Solicitor Dorsey, he is preparing to fight to the last plea of the defense that the jurors for the Frank trial be drawn from the grand jury and not the petite jury box. The grand jury, in the statement which they asked the solicitor to make for them, also declared that they would pay no attention to anonymous communications, had a difficult fight. While the solicitor and the members of the grand jury keep silent as regards what happened in the grand jury room during the consideration of the matter, it is known that the solicitor did not win his point without a difficult fight. He went in with a mass of evidence showing why the indictment of the Negro would injure the state's case against Frank and stayed with the grand jurors for nearly an hour and a half. Page 2, column 3. Public comfort station, given warm endorsement by J.K. Orr Counsel. Take steps for public comfort. Counsel Sam Shepard, one of the leaders in the fight for the establishment of a public comfort station in Atlanta, has asked the city council to start the ball rolling. In a resolution he offered Monday afternoon, Councilman Shepard asks that a committee of six be appointed to draw up plans for the station and perfect the preliminary details before council is finally asked for an appropriation. Councilman Shepard suggests that L.C. Green, J.K. Orr, and Leo Barnes be appointed on the committee, and that Mayor Woodward name three members of council. The resolution was adopted by council. Businessmen and women are strong for a public comfort station, and the shoppers are unanimous for the proposed plan, said J.K. Orr, commenting on the hundreds of endorsements which are pouring in to L.C. Green, chairman of the Chamber of Commerce Committee, which has as its objective a public comfort station. Harrelson Bleckley has submitted to the Chamber Committee tentative plans for a structure to be erected in the heart of the city, and the project has aroused such enthusiasm that those interested believe the building will be in the process of construction before the end of the year. The plans provide for a comfort station which will be a permanent feature of Atlanta, built of concrete or brick. The specifications call for a frontage of 36 feet and a depth of 46 feet. There will be entrances on each side of the building, one for men, the other for women, and an up-to-date cigar stand and soda fountain will be located between the two entrances. The rent from this concession will provide at least part of the upkeep of the plant. Such a building is something Atlanta ought to have, and no city of our size can afford to be without it, said Mr. Orr, for there are more advantages than one could print in the public comfort project. Why, it is essential, and marks the growth of the city. We go to other large cities, Washington, New York, or Chicago, and public comforts are recognized as indispensable. On the other hand, in smaller towns like Calhoun, Georgia, they have at least a restroom for the ladies. There is every good reason why we should have one. Mr. Orr's argument was heartily endorsed by many leading businessmen. A strong fight for the project will be made by Wilmer L. Moore, president of the Chamber of Commerce, Walter G. Cooper, secretary, Mayor Woodward, Recorder Nash Broyles, Chief Beavers and L.C. Green, chairman of the Chamber of Commerce Committee in charge of the public comfort campaign. The Constitution is in receipt of a hearty letter from Mr. Green in appreciation of the editorial support given the movement, and Atlantans everywhere have awakened to the vital need of the much-longed-for comfort. According to the committee in charge, all details have been completed for the building except the exact location, and there are several central sites in view. Within a few months, there is every assurance that the required $10,000 will be forthcoming. Page 2, Column 5. Mayor may hold up. Dictograph warrant, objects to paying expenses of installing instrument in Williams House. A.R. Colcord, chairman of the police committee, has been asked to approve a warrant for $19, which represents the expense to which the detective department was put to install the dictograph in room 36, Williams House. Chairman Colcord said Monday that he did not approve of the use to which the dictograph was put, but explained that he has been informed that it was never intended to entrap Mayor Woodward or any other city official. "I think that I shall approve the warrant," Chairman Colcord said. "My only reason for holding the warrant up, as I have said before, was to learn by what authority it was used. There was some conflict, but I have found that he proper authority was given." He indicated that the conflict of authority was between Chief Beavers and Detective Chief Lanford. The approved warrant will go to council with authority for payment. The mayor will have to sign the check, otherwise the money will not be paid out. Mayor Woodward strongly indicates that he will not sign. The amount represents the expense of installing the instrument. It does not include the fee of stenographer Gentry, who took the conversations of Mayor Woodward. Colonel Felder, C.C. Jones, and others who were inveigled into the Williams House by Collier in February.